Are you interested in starting your own cash PT practice? Maybe a little side hustle practice right now because you're bored with what you do at work and you're seeing massive volumes of patients. I found the most success by going this route through a practice in a gym. And this is why I started the Gym PT Blueprint. The Gym PT Blueprint is really a program that shows you exactly how to be successful in the cash model, whether it's a side practice or you're diving head first like I did. This shows you exactly how to set your finances up correctly, how to set your practice up correctly, how to sell things, how to market yourself, and how to really convey your unique value to other people so that they'll want to pay you for it. If you are struggling to figure out how to set your practice up correctly, or if you're in practice and you're not making at least five figures a month at this point, you really should check out the Gym PT Blueprint. Head over to drdannymattei.com/products. That's drdannymattei.com/products to take a look at the Gym PT Blueprint and see how this program can help you become successful. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Mattei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And tonight we're talking to Jim Hefner, like Hugh Hefner, which we chatted a little about before the podcast. Rest in peace, my man. Who has got his hand in a couple different things. And the main reason that I actually reached out to you was because he has the most Irish fucking last name, Matt McClanahan. Sorry, Matt, I hope I got that right. He said, hey, you got to check this guy, Jim, out. He's doing some cool stuff out in Colorado. It'd be an interesting person for you to chat about because he's got a blog and he's got a cash practice. And so I looked into it and I was like thinking to myself, this is great. This is going to be awesome because, blogs are an interesting beast. I have friends that have blogs that are just make a ridiculous amount of money off of blogs. And I think the thought process is like blogs are old, right? Like blogs, that's old school blogging. But I have news for you. It's still very relevant. So that's what we're going to get into tonight. And Jim, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast with me.
Oh man, thank you so much for having me. And Matt, thank you for reaching out to Danny. So I think it's amazing how the world turns in that sense to bring us all together.
It's
like
great.
That.
And anytime anybody has a recommendation, I love to hear it because, there's people that I'm not familiar with and it's not that it's not a great fit. Like this is going to be great. So, here's what I want. Will you give everybody a little background on, your entrepreneurial kind of journey at this point and what you have your hand in terms of the projects you're working on in your business as well?
Well, I graduated from St. Louis University in 2013 and I think my entrepreneurial journey kind of started around that time when one of the first major things I did was start the student physical therapist with two other PTs from St. Louis U. So with Chris Fox and Brian Schwabe. And when I first started that website, I think the impetus behind it was really I knew there was not much in regards to student led websites at that point, but then also, I really wanted to to learn a good amount of information that I could then translate to other people. I said, there's got to be a better way to make this information more digestible for other people. So started out with that. And then I worked kind of in the corporate world for a year and a half. I went through a orthopedic residency, went through the corporate world for about a year and a half. And then I started my own cash-based physical therapy practice in Boulder, Colorado, which is called Hefner Health. Along the lines, I love writing, so I wrote an ebook. Actually, last year I published my first real book too, which is called The Yoga Fix. I partnered up with a yoga instructor here in town. And so we put together a book on kind of the principles of movement and yoga together. So, basically I think I'm kind of like an open slate. I have a general, I know what I want to do and where I want to go. But aside from that, I'm really open to accepting really all these different opportunities. Cause I think you learn from those opportunities and you can really go to the next level.
So, okay. You started your blog. This was the first year you were in PT school or did you guys start this towards like the middle end? Like what was the origin story of like starting that blog? Cause that's a hell of a project to begin when you're already in school.
we started it during our second year of PT school. And I remember I was doing a rotation in Kansas City, and I was looking at, I think maybe Erson Religioso's manual sure. therapy blog. And I was like, oh, there's not a lot of information out there for students right now going through who want to learn about the special test, for example, or kind of like what's the journey in life of a student. So I reached out to Chris and Brian, and that's where we quickly started just pushing information into this blog. And what was great about it is that we were learning at the same time. So not only were we getting smarter ourselves, but then we were able to expand that to a large audience of people.
Yeah, that makes total sense, right? It's sort of, you know, that would say if you can teach it, you understand it, you know, and that really seems like it would be a good way to go about it. We had people in class where I went to PT school that would make these elaborate study guides and then give them out to everybody. So I never made a study guide. I just always waited for a couple of people in our class to make a study guide and then studied those and then passed. But they would always do so much better, right?
Same way, exactly. And I also thought to myself, those people, I'm like, God, I would definitely try to sell these study guides, yeah. but you know,
yeah,
that is giving out such gold right now. And I think that's the entrepreneur background in me. But actually, bringing that back to the student physical therapist, I mean, like one of our first missions was to give everything away for free, to give out as much information as possible.
Well, and I was kind of looking at different blog posts in here, and it ranges quite a bit from, you know, different topics that are, you know, some of them are applicable to like patients, some, you know, to actually PTs as well, kind of all of them in between. But it seems to be the most kind of obvious thing is that it's consistent. So like, what's the posting schedule that you guys have found to be successful for your blog?
We've gone back and forth on this throughout the years, and it's definitely changed as our personal schedules have gotten busier. During PT school, we each wanted to have, during PT school and then during our residency year, the goal was to have one post per week per person. So we were posting three new pieces of content every week, which is pretty
significant. Yeah, how long did you actually keep that up for? Three a week?
Oh man, we kept that up for about 3 years. So we spent a lot of time and effort on the blog early on. And then we kind of ran into this battle of us all getting into our own businesses or delving deeper into our own careers. And now we each post once every 3 weeks. So there's still a new piece of content every week, but then we spread that out over 3 weeks.
So that's a ton. Three a week for 3 years.
Just about. I mean, there's some give and take there.
That's a ton. And what would you say? So, you know, reading your bio, you know, it says that you guys are getting about 65,000 views a week on that blog, right? So, that's a lot. Do you feel like the kind of consistency that you guys had very early on is one of the reasons why you're able to generate as much traffic to that website as you are?
I think that is so true that we have a ton of content on there, and it's all free information. So we offer a incredible amount of free information, but then also I think we're called the student physical therapist, and we try to offer at least the basic criteria that you as a student, some things that you can benefit from. So the other portion is, I mean, we all say this, like, don't start a website unless you A, are going to do it for yourself, or you have an audience to do it for. And we know that there's always going to be new student physical therapists who need this information.
No, absolutely. I would also make a statement that you shouldn't start a project like this unless you can monetize it. You know, I had a mentor of mine when I first told him that I was going to start a podcast. And, you know, he was like, well, how much of that time of your time is going to take? And I told him, and he goes, well, what's your monetization strategy? You know, and I was like, well, I haven't figured that out yet. He goes, well, I'd figure that out before you start a podcast, because it's a vehicle to build an audience. And if you can build an audience that's leverageable into potentially, you know, a business. So did you guys go into this thinking like, man, this may be something that we could, you know, potentially make some money off of at some point? Or did you just think, you know what, let's just do this so we can learn better? And it was completely afterthought, if you guys have any sort of monetization strategy.
Well, the actual monetization strategy was an afterthought, but we definitely thought there was potential in the future to make some money on it. More so, we thought that kind of in the grand scheme of money and just building your brand, that it would be a good way to become introduced to a wide variety of physical therapists. And then also, we were all trying to get into residency programs, and we said, hey, this is going to be a way to kind of prove that at least we're committed to the profession.
That's true. I mean, so, okay, well, this is a good point. Maybe it's not just, you know, true, you know, revenue production in terms of like, you know, there's something that somebody's going to buy or you get ads spend or something to that effect, or somebody's sponsoring a post on here and you generate income that way. Do you feel like it helped you when you interviewed for residencies and they saw the blog post you had that you were more of a better candidate that they would want to choose?
I think that it proved that we were all candidates that, and all three of us got into residency. So I think that also is kind of a testament that, you know, there's some truth to, on some level, it's probably not that you have a blog. It's more that you are writing stuff that shows that you're committed to the profession. So for us, it was that we were spending time every week researching what the newest evidence says so that we can give it to a mass quantity of people.
What's the most frustrating thing that you guys found with starting this blog, especially together, because it's three of you and you're not near each other at this point, or are you guys all living down the block from each other?
No, we're in Los Angeles, Boise, Idaho, and then I'm in Boulder, Colorado. So we're pretty widespread apart.
Yeah. So what's the most frustrating thing you guys have had to deal with long distance relationship and a blog together?
Well, one of it is finding the balance between being business partners and being friends. So there's a time where if someone's not bringing up their weight on a part of it, and you kind of have to yell at that person to say, hey, you need to step it up on this or get your new content out. So that's one of the frustrations that we've had back and forth. And that's, we're all guilty of that based on how busy we are in our individual lives. But kind of trying to think of other major barriers that we've had. It, more so actually too, is that it's hard to find local people in your area that are as committed or as dedicated to the profession. So like when I need someone, when we were in PT school, we would, like the second and third year, it would be like every lunch break, we'd be shooting the special test videos and we'd be shooting additional content. Now it's to find someone that you can actually partner up with to help record that video content. It's more of that sort of barrier. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you have those key individuals around you, it just makes so much, it makes it so much easier. You know, the first podcast I started, the co-host that I had, his wife's still in the Army, and we lived like fairly close to each other at the time. It was about a 3-hour drive from each other. I was in Atlanta, they were in Columbia. And then his wife got moved to West Point for advanced clinical doctorate, and then out to Washington. And like the time zone changes and the lack of being able to get together to do some of these like in-person projects, it does make it really challenging, you know? So how do you guys deal with that? Do you guys get together on a certain, a certain amount of times per year, or is it all kind of remote at this point?
We still, last April, we got together and all three of us met in Los Angeles and we did a big recording shoot of a bunch of things. And then other than that, it's either weekly or every other week meeting that we have, typically on Sunday nights, but just we have a 30-minute meeting just to discuss about where the business is at and where everyone is individually, and then where we're trying to grow as a brand.
What's the goal with this blog? I mean, so, you know, in 3 years, where would you love to see the student physical therapist be in terms of, you know, an online business as well as a blog?
Well, we got a few different aims and goals that we're heading for. If you're looking at the website, under our special test pages, we've outlined over 100 special tests and we just re-recorded those last year. I'm going to say this to actually put us on the spot. Over the next 2 years, we're going to add all of our manual muscle tests and muscle length testing. So just to help student physical therapists out with those two branches. That's more on the free content side, but also we are really trying to pump up our insider access pages too. And the insider access, it is a paid subscription monthly page, but it's because that is everything that we've learned in our residency and our fellowship program. So yes, it is a monthly paid thing, but there's there's a ton of high quality content on there that we're very proud of. So again, bumping up that aspect of it too.
So talk to me a little about this insider access portion of it. So like, what's the cost? Is it recurring basis? Is it like a one-time fee? Like how is that side of your business set up currently?
It is a monthly recurring for either $8.95 or you can do a yearly for $88. So there's those two different options. You obviously save a little bit more if you purchase for the year, but then it is a monthly recurring subscription.
Now,
which is a big investment for some people, and they're scared about the monthly recurring thing. And so we're aware of that barrier.
You know, I just feel like I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a dick. If $9 is like, you know, something that people are, if that is breaking your budget, there's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's something that low, if it's really high value, I mean, that's like MobilityWad, right? MobilityWad is like $8 or $9 a month. And I mean, the amount of information on that is crazy that the people can, if that's what they're into, it sounds like such a small investment for something that could be so powerful. So what's your marketing message for people like that? Cause it sounds like, if you're talking to students, you know, they are racking up student loans. So in that case, yeah, maybe that is something that they would be concerned with. But what's your message to people that, you know, that you should really be a part of this insider access?
Well, I'll take one step back, and I definitely don't think you sounded like a dick, but I do remember in PT school where it was like when there was another like $5 or $10 a month. I'm just like, you know, it was more general stinginess because I didn't know what it felt like to have money. So then to like put money into something was like a way different experience. So, and I didn't really value, I was learning so much from the curriculum. I didn't really value the added benefit of other things. So, but what I would recommend and what I would kind of push students to do is to make that small investment right now, because what you're going to learn from it is going to be greater. So I remember like one thing that I invested some money in when I was going through PT school was, God, I forget even the name of it now, but it was all about these different, I was learning more about different surgeries and different ways that PTs were working with some of the top athletic surgeons in the country and the world. And I always spend like $5 a month on it, but that ROI for me is so much greater now. And yeah, maybe I spent $50 that year on it, but it was, you know, what I've learned from that and how that helped me in the future was significantly greater. So
I just don't think that you can go wrong with investing in yourself. Like it's, and you know, you hear all this stuff, you know, and there's, look, if I'm not going to say that investing in your retirement is a bad idea. I think that's a great idea. Like if you're talking about personal finance and being fiscally responsible and sound, like, yeah, you should start to invest in things like that as early as you possibly can. But one thing that you can't take away is the fact that you investing in yourself is potentially the most safe and biggest return on investment that you could make, because no one can take that away from you. And not only that, let's say you put money into a mutual fund. If someone listening to this can explain to me how mutual funds work and how all the fees are set up and the complex interaction between emerging markets and our economy, then great, please do so. And I will give you the green light to invest every dollar you have in the market, because you're probably a stockbroker. We're physical therapists, right? We are not stockbrokers. We don't understand that stuff as well as other people do. What we understand is, you know, the human body, and the better we can sharpen our skill set at becoming good physical therapists, and if you decide to go into business, eventually good business owners, the return on investment for you is dramatic and significantly higher on something that you really truly understand versus other areas that you can invest. So I am such a big fan of investing in information and knowledge. I've never, ever really felt like that has let me down. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're like, dude, $8 a month, you know, what's the return on that, right? I mean, that's what you have to really look at.
And the way that we look at that $8 a month is that you're getting 2 to 5 years, or well, actually everything now from our education from graduation onward. But it's really it's a combination of videos, some lectures, just specific documents and posts that we put out that is really the bread and butter of what we've learned in the last 5 years. But also to go what you were talking about with the investing in yourself, my wife always kind of yells at me for buying books off Amazon. She's like, you can get that book from the library. And there's something to me about, especially with my like kind of self-motivation books that I buy, and then also physical therapy ones. But there's something for me about being able to write in there, make little notes and things, that it's more about the amount that I gain from that experience. The $10 that I buy on that book, or $50 if it's a PT book, you know, is so worthwhile in the long run that it's, she doesn't understand it, but it's, you know, just make that investment yourself, and it pays off dividends for sure.
Well, 100%. And there's a saying, you know, when you pay attention. And I couldn't agree with that more. There's plenty of things, like people could give me things that are, it's free information, it's, you know, whatever it is. But when I have skin in the game, you know, I'm paying attention. It's no different than you and I in a cash practice, right? How many people, you know, would you see that in a high volume practice, no copay whatsoever, and they're just sort of like, nah, whatever, you know, maybe I'm not gonna do my homework, don't need to do it. But if somebody's paying us, you know, $200 an hour for a visit, and I tell them, hey, this is your homework, I want you to do this 3 times a day, they're gonna do it. Because if they don't, it's a waste of their time and their money. Your outcomes are dramatically better when somebody has skin in the game.
That's an incredible analogy, and it's so true. I worked for Concentra before I started my own cash practice. I would see about 20 to 25 people a day, and it was, I would see a lot of people that were not doing the things that I would tell them. And now every person, I mean, I get emails every other day of someone who just wants a little bit more education or a little bit more information on this, because they're truly invested in the product.
Oh, absolutely. Isn't it crazy? Yeah. Like people, you know, they'll come in. I remember when I was in the Army, and I would ask patients like, hey, show me your homework. And then they would come up with some random bullshit that I never showed them, some weird exercise that they've kind of like hybridized that doesn't even exist. And I sure as hell didn't show them. And it was very obvious they didn't do anything that I told them to do. None. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that that's a socialized medical model. They pay for nothing. And so there's no skin in the game. And not only that, if they're hurt, it's 100% pay. There's no like 60, 70% if you're, you know, hurt on the job or whatever. It's, you get paid 100%, you know, so the compliance is just way, way lower, you know. And now I have patients that research blog posts on other things that we've talked about. I'm like, hey, have you read this yet or that? And I mean, they're so into what we have to say. It's like, it's frankly one of the best parts of a cash practice, you know, and it's cool that you've seen that as well. Cause I hear it from people from all over the country that are just, they enjoy the interaction with their patients so much more because they're so much more interested and invested in what you have to say.
Yeah. I could not agree more on that principle, just because, well, also, I mean, you, at a certain point, if you're seeing that many people and you're not like fully invested yourself in it because the patients aren't invested, that's what leads in part to professional burnout. But now, you know, like I have my busiest days right now. I keep getting busier on a day-to-day schedule basis. And it's like, I just look forward to those days. I don't care how many people there are. Yesterday, actually, I had 13. That was my longest patient day of 13 hours. And I was just pumped about the whole thing because, I'm earning all the money myself. But then also, I'm building something great. And my people are fully invested in it, which makes me so much more excited about it.
No, that's great. With your blog, I'm interested in your marketing message for this inside access, and as well as you have some other digital products as well on your site. You know, where are you finding these people? Like, what have you found success with in terms of actually being able to monetize information, which is what you guys are doing, and it's awesome.
We've had the biggest success with our newsletter by far. So one of the things that we did not do early on, and I really wish that we would have built up earlier, was building a bigger email newsletter base. And so every week, in addition to the content here, we offer a free newsletter that everyone should sign up for because it kind of comprises everything that we have. But then also from the business side, that does help drive in more sales that way too. And I'm not sure what the difference in the message is, but for whatever reason, when people see it on the newsletter, it helps bring in sales.
It totally does. And so my business coach, I just talked to him on Monday, and he just like reamed me for not being as consistent with emailing
people that are on our newsletter for this podcast as we do with our practice. Like our practice every week, a newsletter goes out with blog posts that we've written, videos that we've done, things that are relevant to our population. And, but I wasn't doing that with this podcast and the newsletter, or the email list that we have for this. And he pulled up his, he uses a software called Drip, which is actually, the same people that, own a company called Lead Pages. And he said, Danny, check this out. He goes, I'm going to show you these newsletters. He has this thing called Five Bullet Fridays. And he goes, there's no call to action whatsoever to sign up for any of my products. And he has a lot of strength and conditioning products online that are like one-off products, and then has some actually like recurring training programs. And none of this stuff in his Friday email have anything to do with that. It's all just like, here's a blog post, a podcast I did, or whatever. And he can see by the day of sales that come from people that have read the newsletter. It's pretty interesting, the analytics of it. And he was like, check out Friday. And there'd be like 10 purchases. And then it would be like Monday through Thursday, there'd be like one every once in a while. And then it was like Friday again, it was like 10 more. And it's just because, you know, the way he described it is just, you're just in front of those people and you're relevant to them at that time. And maybe they remember that they wanted to do something or sign up for something or buy something. So it's interesting you say that. So what's your list building strategy? Like, how are you trying to get people to actually sign up for your newsletter?
Well, and Danny, what you were saying about that too, when I started my cash practice, there was the owner of one of the local yoga studios. His name's Jerry Weinhold. He's the owner of the Yoga Pod. And he said, It generally takes someone maybe 9 interactions. I don't know why he said 9. Maybe it's from his own business background, but to actually come in and experience your product. So like he would mention my name in some of his yoga classes, and then he would, other people would just hear my name here and there. And it's like, well, they didn't buy my product from this thing, or they didn't, you know, maybe they didn't sign up for an appointment. But sometimes it's not going to be the first time. It's not going to be the second time. But, you know, maybe on the 9th time, that first person's finally going to come in, and then it's worth it. So, you know, it's so true that like you just have to keep hitting them. Maybe it's with the Five Bullet Fridays, it's some free content, but yeah, you just got to like repeatedly go after the customers in a good way and give them a ton of great information. So then they're also willing to purchase some of the content.
Well, I think the other thing you have to think about is just how inundated people are with information, right? Like there's very little time in somebody's day, in most people's day, where they're not in front of a screen or they don't have like multiple things coming at them from different channels, in particular advertisements, right? So it is complex when you look at trying to get your message in front of people. And in particular, if you're listening to this and you have a practice or you have like digital products or whatever it is that your business is, you have to really think about marketing is like fishing for humans. So it's how do you get that bait in the right place enough times where you're actually going to catch something. And once you figure that out, you can dial your systems in, then you can start to repeat it over and over and over again. And then really hone in your marketing message and put a bunch of efficient ad spend money behind that, right? So it's no different whether you're in practice or what you guys are doing. It's just a matter of trying to figure that out. So it sounds like if the newsletter is where you guys get the most amount of purchases and revenue you generate from that, it sounds like the newsletter should be something you're prioritizing the most. So what's your strategy going forward for you guys to really build a big email list and have a really strong newsletter presence?
Part of that strategy is, well, the newsletter, we have different pop-ups on the webpage that will then draw people always back to the newsletter. And we know we get a certain amount of hits on certain pages. So on some of our special test pages that are more of our big number pages, there's going to be an extra advertisement or a little extra pop-up to, hey, join our newsletter at some point. So it's really a strength in number sort of thing, where the more times that you introduce it to somebody, hopefully don't annoy them, the more times that they're going to, the more likely that they'll sign up for it. So that's one thing. Another thing that we kind of took to early on was just really getting people to the website, because the more people that come to the website is then going to increase the likelihood of those that are going to join the newsletter too. Some stuff that we did for that. This was maybe, we thought it was a bold move at the time. I'm sure a lot of these emails just went spam or did not go to anybody, but we actually emailed every one of the physical therapy schools and reached out to their deans and their orthopedic professors. to try to build audience that way and say, hey, this is a new resource. This is something that's out there and available. Please pass it on to your students if you find it also to be a good resource. So that was, you know, it's we took the approach of how can we hit the people who can then hit the people who can then hit even more people for us.
No, that makes total sense. I mean, and that's also, there's plenty of people that wouldn't do that, right? Because there's this fear of rejection, you know, like, gosh, you know, what are they going to think? And they're going to blow me off or whatever. And what if, yeah, one out of 10 doesn't, and then shows his students about that. That could be 50 people that go to your blog post, you know, that are your ideal person, you know, to actually read that. And then, you know, maybe they turn into like long-term visitors. So I think that's great. Have you guys played around with any actual paid digital ads to get people to your blog posts?
We have not yet.
Yeah, I'd be interested. So if you're getting 65,000 views a week?
A week, yeah.
Yeah, so that's all organic then at this point. I'd be interested. It's sort of like I really believe that you can apply digital, any sort of like digital business, online business concepts, many of them at least, to your brick and mortar businesses and vice versa, right? So if you look at, okay, if I can take digital marketing to drive leads into my brick and mortar business from content online, well, you could do the same thing to get leads to go to your digital business, which is your website for this blog online, by targeting the people that are ideal customers of yours, to go there. And it's crazy how accurate you can get with things like Facebook now. Like, there's literally a demographic for doctor of physical therapy. The only people that were interested in that are people that are either in school or have graduated from physical therapy school. You know, and you being able to get people like that to relevant special tests or whatever you do really well, I'd be really interested to hear how, you know, that would work with you guys in terms of email newsletter signups and stuff. Because at this point, it's all organic.
Well, hey, and this is like, I'm happy to have met you recently and also be talking about this stuff because, and none of us are bashful about this, but the marketing aspect, I mean, this is something that we're all still trying to learn and develop. So it is, from that sense, yeah, we're creating, our goal initially was to create great content that would drive people to the website. And now it's how can we leverage more of the marketing information to then get additional people to the website. And that, I mean, that's a learning curve that we're all walking up right now.
That's a huge learning curve, right? I mean, like, okay, what kind of business information did you learn in physical therapy school?
Oh, we had like a 1-hour business class, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Like, what did they go over? Do you even remember?
I do. They talked about some of the basics of starting an LLC. And then there was also some of the ethical information about having a business. But there was definitely nothing about, or maybe there's a little bit in marketing too, but really when it got down to the accounting and financing of a business, there really was not much on it.
And what you typically hear as well is, you know, the old school or traditionally physician referrals were like it for physical therapists, right? It had to come from physicians. You had to develop relationships with physicians and strategies to do that. And that's just not the case now. I mean, we have the ability to get our message in front of the people that we want to work with on our terms, and we don't have to necessarily go to a physician's office, you know? So is school necessarily the best place to learn that? Maybe not, right? I mean, like, you're there to learn how to pass the boards and be a safe practitioner and then go on to learn the things that really interest you from there. But man, if we want to progress as a profession, marketing is just our ability to get our message in front of the right people and persuade them to take action on something that in our case would really be beneficial to them, which would be us being able to resolve their problem instead of them spending money on things like imaging that they don't need or taking medicine or things that are unnecessary, where we have this really unique skill set in order to solve that problem. So is there anything that at this point you guys have found in terms of, you know, marketing education or sales education that, you know, you've learned in the past year or so that you feel like has been beneficial?
Well, I hope I'm speaking to the right audience here, but from a sales perspective, and this has probably been talked about and covered before, but when we also have a lumbar spine course on there. We also have a cervical spine course. And when we're marketing our courses, simple things such as doing a promo code or putting a certain sale on there for the right time of the year, especially you tag that with our newsletter, that sort of stuff is always more valuable than just putting the regular price on there. So I'm not sure what it is about people with sales and promotions, but even myself, I love them. I'll always go for that sort of thing versus a normal price thing. So, I think it's probably good business to run some sort of sale or promo, even if it's not that much of a discount, just because that catches the eye so much more.
It's true. Right. And, it's something that has to be, not done all the time. I mean, just think of retail, right? My wife loves anything that has to do with Lululemon, right? Like that store just takes more of our money than I would prefer for anybody to know. But she loves their shit, and they've got great stuff, right? And they never have anything on sale either, by the way, right? So it's sort of like Apple. Like they never have anything on sale. But they had this big, I don't know what you call it. It's like some sort of warehouse sale where they basically took over this huge area in downtown Atlanta, and they did it. It was like regional. This was about a year or so ago. They did it regionally. And so Atlanta had this huge pop-up shop that they basically developed, and there was like a DJ in there and like all kinds of crazy shit. So we show up at this place, and of course, my wife's interested in going to this. I'm there with my two kids walking around with like hundreds of women running around carrying so many clothes that they could barely fit their arms around them, trying to get my kids like, you know, wrangled so that they don't get run over by these individuals while they're, you know, listening to this DJ play, whatever the hell he's playing. And so like this, what I'm getting to is this was a sale that they set up in Atlanta, and there were people that flew in from all over the country to come this one sale to buy freaking sports bras and yoga pants. Right. And it's because, go ahead.
The funny thing is, sorry, go ahead. They discounted that shit from $99 to $79 or something.
No, totally. I mean, it really that's basically what it was. But the fact that they're such a reputable brand, and then they just don't do sales very often, it makes a huge difference. And what you're talking about is the idea of presenting a time based sale, right? There's scarcity. It's only going to last for however long, 2 days or whatever it is, in front of somebody that is familiar with you and trusts you. And maybe they just need that last little push to get them across the line to eventually purchase something. And our physical therapy clients are no different than that, man. No different, you know? And some of this comes down to testing things out. You know, in your cash practice, have you ever tested out, you know, reactivation sales or anything like that, or any sort of promo for them?
The only time I've acted something like that was recently when I raised my prices. I kind of did if you want to pre-purchase some visits at a lower price.
Yeah.
And it was a nice end of the year. So
it's a great way. That's actually a really good way to generate cash flow. So at a price raise, yeah, if you do that, and you tell your pre-existing clients if they want to pre-purchase, you can do that. We do something once a year, and it's something that initially I started. It's all based off of like digital businesses that we have, and then trying to apply those concepts to brick and mortar, right? So I decided the end of the year for cash practices is typically a little bit slower. So holidays and cash flow isn't as good as it is like the first 3 to 4 months of the year at the last 2 months of the year. So I noticed that after our first year in business. So I decided, okay, I'm going to try to negate this by having some sort of sale and trying to reactivate old clients for prepaid packages in October before the holidays hit, and see how many I can reactivate. And so we do this once a year. We call it open enrollment, and it's open for 5 days once a year. And what's so funny is we've done it now 3 years in a row. And even at the second year, we had people emailing us in October, or patients asking us, hey, when's open enrollment going to be this year? And And now even this past year, the same thing happens. And we just have all these people chomping at the bit to actually get something at a slight discount, which we never discount at all. And it's the only time of the year we do it. So that's a strategy you can apply online as well as
in person. I completely agree. And actually, I was taking some notes on that because I like that quite a bit. So we'll talk to you more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's cool.
It's
cool
stuff, it's one of those things where when it comes to physical therapy, they say, oh, well, you don't want to discount your prices or you don't want to discount your sales. And that's something that I've always gone back and forth on because, yes, we are offering a very defined service and it should cost this much money. But at the other end of the spectrum, we are still running a business. And if we're running a little bit low on something and we only do it at a very defined time, why not drum up some more business that way?
Well, true. And I think there's an argument to be made on both sides, right? Like I said, we do this once a year. It's the only time that we ever offer any sort of discount. And I was very apprehensive initially to even do it, but we tested it out and it worked out well. And for us, it's something that we're going to continue to do because it is a great way for us to reactivate old clients. You know, these are people, the only people that even have access to this are people that have only people that have worked with us, right? So we're basically selling to people that are familiar with us and like us and have already worked with us. So you do have to be careful, like, because, you know, some people will be like, oh man, I've got to, you know, put a sale in to get somebody in the door. And man, if you don't have really good sales skills and have something to upsell them into after that, you can go broke doing that. You know, so it sort of depends on the context.
What you're talking about is that it's already people who, you know, are willing paying customers and you're just trying to get them back in the door and they're coming back in the door.
Right.
So it's different versus if you offer a free screening and that person takes up your time and really then you're losing money because of it. And you do that repeatedly. That's no good. But yeah, in that situation, you already know this is a paying customer. You already have a relationship with them. They trust you. That's awesome. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's just something, you know, I would tell people, test things out. Like if you have a practice, you gotta try things and it may not always work. And more than half the time, it doesn't work. But if you can test things, measure them and decide if they were worth you doing or not, that's how you start to really whittle down to the things that you should be doing and that have been working that you should, you know, put resources behind. But if you never test anything, how do you know if it's going to work? You know, it just won't. So Jim, here's what I want to end with. For anybody that's interested in a blog, in starting a blog, maybe they're a student and they want to do something similar. You know, maybe they're a practitioner and they want to use a blog as a way to develop niche a practice of some sort. I talked to a guy the other day on the podcast. It's a golfer, and you know, I told him, you know, relevant content specific to that niche is just so helpful. What's your advice to somebody that's interested in starting a blog? Like for them to be successful in that, what do you think that they really need to focus on?
The number one thing that you should focus on is it's going to take time. It's going to take a large investment of your time, especially early on. And there's going to be a consistency component to it. So if you're not willing to, unless you're just doing this for yourself, if you're trying to build an audience, build a brand, if you're not willing to invest time and you're not willing to be consistent, then I wouldn't spend your time on it in the first place.
Yeah, that's great advice. Consistency is the name of the game, right? I think any content, consistency is key.
The second piece of advice would be to passion has got to be kind of like an utmost thing. I love, like when you and I were chatting before the podcast, it was one of those kind of like you almost get the chills experience because you're talking to someone who you can really match with and you feel, I mean, like, you feel great about that conversation. And you should also feel that same way when you're creating your content for your customers. So, and Brian, Chris and I have all been through this where there's times where you feel a little lull or lagging in your content. That'll happen periodically, but overall, when you are creating and running a website, you should feel very passionate about the information that you're giving out, because even though it's written word, the customer is going to recognize that in the language that you're giving out. So passion is huge.
To 100%. I couldn't agree more. This is great, man. We'll have to set up another time to chat so we can, we can get into all your cash practice specifics too, but it's been fun to talk about a blog. You know, it's definitely still a relevant digital business to get into. Take a look at Jim's blog, and the website is really good. And I like that both of these are on Weebly platforms too, by the way. These are I'm assuming this is either free and or very low cost website.
Very low cost, which is ironic, but it just goes to show that we're still some of the top Google searches as a Weebly site, and it takes some consistency and it takes a lot of viewership. Yeah. But it's kind of ironic that, you know, because Weebly is definitely it's a very cheap platform to use.
Oh my God. Well, dude, our clinical website is a Weebly platform that I built on a weekend before I got out of the military for our practice, you know, and
it's that easy to start it. And then, you know,
it's super easy. Yeah. It's easy. And I started, you know, with a free one. Ours now, it's like, I don't even know what it is. It's maybe like $15 a month or something mm-hmm. like that. But it really comes down to relevant content that people are going to, and you know, and Google really heavily weighs that, you know, for ranking purposes. So, you know, if you're starting a practice and you're, you know, on a shoestring budget, you know, that's a platform that I'm very familiar with and I've had success with. And, you know, even locally, like I think we get something like, 3,000 or so, unique visitors. I'm sorry, 5,000 unique visitors a month to our site that are primarily all in like the Atlanta area, and it's a free Weebly site. You know, it's not something that we put a bunch of money behind. Although you could probably have a significantly better return on investment if you really, like, you know, pimped it out.
I go back, yeah, definitely, and I think maybe for like a thing where you're not constantly driving traffic to, like the student physical therapist. Since we have so much viewership, I would get these emails from software people that would say, oh, convert over to WordPress and we can make your SEO better. And it's like, well, we're already the top of a lot of Google searches, especially for when it's student PT related subjects. So it's like, why would we ever transfer over? And I think a lot of people don't see that because, you know, it does take some time to build that level of brand up. But, you know, overall, obviously, if you do a WordPress or something, there's better search engine optimization. But Weebly for us, you know, it's super easy to use. And if you're just looking to put your feet in the water on a blog, it's a great one to use.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, thanks so much. We'll make sure we have everything in the show notes with your practice, which is really cool. You guys should check that out. It's Hefner Health, correct?
That is correct. And you said it the right way, which I really appreciate. So.
You got it, dude. I practice that. Hefner Health and the student physical therapist. Check both those things out. So, Jim, thanks so much for chatting tonight. Really appreciate it.
Danny, I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Catch you next time.